From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Hallelujah. Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise, to stand upon the mountain and magnify His name. Tell all the people,
tell all the people,
every nation,
that He reigns. Zion is calling me to a higher place of prayer. It becomes my highest prayer. With all my heart, respond to who You are.
Father, this evening, thank You for bringing us together again. Thank You for all the journeys, the series, the teachings, the expositions, the impartations, the filling of our spiritual stomachs that is taking place these wisdom evenings that, Lord, You've blessed us with. It's a great privilege to be meeting like this. Many don't have this. And therefore, we thank You and we pray that, Lord, You keep us moving on as long as You will allow. Let Your kingdom come and let Your will be done. Thank You for tonight. Lives have changed because of Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Is that Uncle Kurt? Wow, it's good to see you, man. A long time no see. Beautiful, beautiful. So all of you are welcome. You know, I can't see some of your faces because of the mask, but I'll just have to try like that. I was really looking at, who is this young girl sitting in the corner there? No, it was Anna. You know, so if I look at you steady, just know that you look like a bandit. So I'm trying to uncover your face, because many faces are sealed because of the mask. But I believe that we are safe, we are covered. Quarantine, you may never know, right? So it's serious, and you have to put on your mask and all of that. But no corona can touch your skin, it cannot come near you in the name of Jesus. That's why it's important for all the sheep, all the people under my oversight, whether you are in region 1 or region 10, to make sure that you are at least one service a week. Because last week, the Lord led me to share communion. So those of you who didn't come, you missed the communion. And this week, I'm just pouring oil on all my sheep. So if you also miss this week, because I don't hear anything for next week. I don't know what is going to come next week. But we are led. We move as we are led. You get it? Mm-hmm. People, Bible says that men of God, they wrote as they were led. They moved by the Spirit. And so if you miss the oil this week, you have missed the blood, you've missed the oil. Charlie, don't call me and say you're coughing and you get headache. And I said, Charlie, join the PPP or something. You do something. Yeah, because this is a very serious time. It is nowhere. There's no Caribbean country yet that is meeting like us. Suriname, Antigua, Trinidad and Tobago, Jamaica, Barbados. So all these people, they are locked down. We are the only ones with this privilege. Yeah. You know? Even though some people think that we should lock down the place. Well, come and lock it down. Let's see. I don't know why only us. Because we also have a second problem, which is the elections. So we are not like everybody else. So you cannot just rise up and say lockdown when there's not even a government. And GCOM have agreed to do the recount, isn't it? So they're going to do a recount and then, and therefore we'll see really. We need to move on from this. Kokwanansi story, is it cockaboo they call it? It's kind of hide and seek. How do you call it? This game they play on their children. Mommy and daddy, somebody, what do you call it? Just Dolly House kind of game. Catch up, we play, they can't do that. Amen. All right. And then and maybe before I go, Psalm 23. Madam Corona. Well, and COVID became flesh and dwelt among men. You have that? Hey. Who's that? Tifa? May I read my scripture if you don't want me to? A COVID lady. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Nobody can do this for you. You can't have enemies around you and then you are having a party. It doesn't happen anywhere. Yeah. No, there's only one person who has power, so much power, to make you celebrate and rejoice and see your enemy and not be worried because he's between you and the enemy. There's nobody on earth who can protect you from your enemy, make you rejoice. You see, when people see that you are going, you are doing well, you are going far, and you are prospering this and that, they try to cut your legs. You know, cut your legs? At workplaces, at home, and all kinds of things. People try to pull you down. So to really flourish in the presence of your enemies, you need a supernatural power to be there. And that's why David was so amazed. Yeah, you know, it doesn't happen. So if you don't have the Lord as your shepherd, I sorry for you. And that's what we're emphasizing at these wisdom times, that the Lord really must become, we shouldn't be like we are in church, we are going to church, we are shepherd house, I'm from this branch, I'm from that branch. Please don't let me use don't let me curse you tonight. Because a curse word came into my head, I just had to restrain myself. Because you are telling me that you is a member, you is in some branch, and so I shouldn't preach about I shall not what. You are wanting, you punishing in this life. So don't say that you know that Psalm 23 and that what more is there to say? No, the saying and knowing is very different from experiencing. And many Christians don't experience God. Many Christians don't have a first-hand experience of who God is. That is what it is. Because when you get an experience, my brother, when you encounter God for yourself, my sister, nobody will tell you what to do. Nobody will tell you what to do. Nobody will tell you what to do. Just like when even in our sinful nature and our sinful lives, we stick to all kinds of friends and relationships that nobody can seem to advise us to get ourselves away from such a relationship. No, it when you get a person, it's because to you, you have your mother or your father or your uncle, nobody understands this relationship that you are inside. You know it, and it's good for you.
I know him.
Even church members, after all your preaching, something will come and say, oh, Bishop, this guy, he's not a Christian, but he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink. He's a good guy, he has a good job. So, Bishop, you think it can't work? I don't remember last time somebody came to me with something like that. But it is all these things, like, you don't have a real experience with God for you to be easy to initiate some of the biblical counsels yourself. You are always at the mercy of some human being have to say something, which you will not agree anyway. So David said that the Lord is my shepherd, and then I shall not want. If you see what Christians are going through today, it means they either don't understand I shall not want, or they don't have the shepherd. And that's the journey that we are taking. We've embarked these few weeks that God still has given us the time to come together as a church family. You know, so the Bible says that he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. And I was trying to explain last night that when David says that he restoreth my soul, it's a little, if you want to call it, contradictory to I shall not want. Because when somebody says I shall not want, how come now your soul needs restoration? I thought you said you shall not want, not knowing that you are suffering from something that the shepherd has to do. But it is even the presence of somebody to fix you when you have a challenge. That's what even makes you I shall not want. Because many people have problems, they don't have anybody to help them solve. Yeah. Many people have problems, they don't have anybody to help them to solve the problems. And there are some problems that nobody can help you but God. You understand? For example, unforgiveness. If you look at unforgiveness, to forgive somebody. I mean, to not forgive somebody is nice, though. It's very nice. Because it's you who experience that problem. And it's you who feels it knows it. So you, the bishop, you, the pastor, you, my friend or my best friend, who's trying to tell me I should forgive and forget. You making joke? Is that how we just forgive and forget? And so people are able to hang on to bitterness and unforgiveness for a long time. Sometimes they cannot even help it. Sometimes people want to forgive, but they can't help it. They can't help it. Yeah. He said, when I see him, when I see her, it just comes back. No medical doctor can help you. And that is why I said last night that anybody who will think, any government, anybody in power who will think that the coronavirus situation can only be solved by medical experts is not intelligent. They have to consider adding the supernatural realm also. They have to consider prayer. That's why the churches should be treated in a very nice way at this time, because as doctors are going on and all these people are going on, prayer also is also a very important part of human life. This is also an emergency place also. Anybody who doesn't understand to come and question why we are meeting and all of that will have to hear some things that they don't know about. That just as some places are open for human beings to be attended to, this is also open so that human beings who are also suffering, who are afraid, who don't know what's going to happen to them, will also be attended to. Yes. Just as you have places that are taking care of people's needs, we also have a place open taking care of people's needs also. Yeah. So soul restoration only comes from God himself.
It is only the shepherd who knows how to bring back a soul that has been affected. So if you go to Psalm 41, when you say a soul is restored, you are talking about a cast down sheep. Because David was a shepherd. And so he was using sheep language. Here, Psalm 42 and verse 11. He's using sheep language here. So you have to understand sheep language a bit to know what David was talking about. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? The New Living Translation says that, why are you what? Discouraged, O my soul. He used the word discouraged. Because when it comes to human beings, the cast down cannot be directly used for a human being. You only use it for a sheep. Because sheep are the only ones that can be cast down. A human being gets discouraged, but a sheep cast down. When a sheep is cast down, what it means is that the sheep is grazing and then they lie down. When they lie down, they'll be, trying to, enjoy themselves lying down. And then if they happen to be around just a hollow, a depression, just a little soft spot or depression, when they try to roll around and enjoy themselves, then their back kind of goes into that little depression, that little hole. And so the back is inside, and then the legs are up. And then because they are there, it's very difficult to turn around again because the back is already has gone a little inside. It's like a hole the sheep has fallen into. I mean, that's not my sheepology I'm teaching. Yes. After I should give you a certificate of completion of following the sheepology course. Yeah. Because if you don't put yourself in David's shoes, you will not understand the psalm. And again, I even brought it into our lives where I am the shepherd here. Wherever I am, that's where the sheep must be. So I don't understand why I'm having meetings here in Georgetown and you are somewhere you don't want to come to the meeting. It means that you are not a shepherd, you are a snake. The snakes must be killed. By the head. Lash them on the head and let them die. So once the sheep gets cast down, then they find themselves in a very difficult position. Now, it is the same thing human beings also experience. When, for example, you get discouraged, it's a very difficult position to be discouraged. Thank you very much. To be discouraged, you need somebody to lift you up. The problem is that many discouraged Christians don't have a shepherd. They find encouragement or they find solution in something else than in the shepherd who God has placed over their lives. Is it because it's not everybody who will tell you the truth, you know? It's not everybody who will tell you the truth. It's not everybody who will even tell you the truth without some ulterior motive, something behind it. How many people will tell you, a young lady, that you are beautiful, you're good looking, without them really applying for employment? Ask yourself, Mr. Roach, ask yourself. Yeah, when I was coming, I don't know whether it's a Brazilian girl or Venezuelan girl or so with some short pants trying to cross Mandela Avenue. I mean, the guy was trying to cross the road, but he stopped and he did. I mean, what do you think? You think it's cricket match that he's cheering to a cricket match? He's trying to catch a fish with a fishing rod. So, rest snapper. Okay. So, in this life, even when you get into trouble, help, genuine help, is very rare to come by. Even if somebody helps you, they will use it against you someday. The Bible says it is only God who does not keep record of all our wrongs.
Yeah. He blots them away. He erases them.
Because as human beings, it's very difficult for us to help for you to help somebody when they really need you, and then they go their way. I find it very difficult, like how some people treat me here in the church. Yes. Yeah. After you show them how to sit in a plane and travel thousands of miles away, then they behave like you don't exist. It's very difficult. But it's only God who can forget what you have done and restore you, bring you back to place. I tell you, like I said, Samuel Jordan, I don't know when. Maybe Corona must come and go again or something. I don't know. But you see, maybe he can settle it with God. But me, no. Thank you very much. Me, no. But when it comes to God, God doesn't have any problem. No matter what you do. But you see, even this psalm here, David is the one saying it. So it's like he had also gone through experiences in life where God fixed him up, where God sought him. I mean, he couldn't understand why Saul, the whole king, would come after him for many months, almost years. I mean, it's like, why? And so he went through, he was discouraged. He was like, oh God, why? But you see, it's God who managed to even help him go and cut Saul's, dress to show him that challenge. I mean, it's God gave him, encouraged him and supported him and later put him on the chair that Saul couldn't sit on. And so he says that he is the one who restores my soul. So after my problems, after my challenges, he's the one who makes me see light at the end of the dark tunnel. He's the only one who makes that possible. I tell you, and God is going to make it possible for us to see a time without coronavirus. I tell you, a time is coming again in our life in this country that we will not be wearing this thing like what kind of human beings are these? You have to cover your face to walk around. That time is coming soon. He's going to restore. The God of resurrection is here. He's going to bring back as if it never happened before. He's going to restore. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in my shepherd, my God, because as my back is in the ground and I'm shouting, you know, a sheep will do, man, and like that. In the course of that, he can actually, the air supply can cut off and he can die. That is why Jesus spoke about the 99, you know, Jesus spoke about the 100 sheep. Luke chapter 15. He said, how many of you have 100 sheep and then when you go and you count them, you see they are 99? Will not go. You know why he will go? Because the shepherd will not, something is wrong with this sheep here. He's cast down somewhere. He can't, because he's not in the pen at this time, he could not get himself to come with the other sheep. So he is in trouble. That is why he leaves the 99, because his back is down. His back is against the wall. There's something that is fighting against him. I need to go and rescue him. It's only God who can look at 100 and know that one is missing. And this one is more important also. Equally important like the 99. The Lord is my shepherd. That's what that scripture says. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost? It is lost because he can't join the rest. Not by choice, but he's stuck somewhere. And so he goes and he takes him, the shepherd, the guy who, you know, what the shepherds do is that they take the sheep and they put him upside down. When they put the animals on their feet like that, then one, two, and they fall down again. So they have to try and massage their limbs and make sure that there's blood can flow again. And it's like sometimes you even have to carry them a little bit before they catch themselves. And that is how God comes to your rescue. That's how God comes to my rescue. He's a God who came to my rescue. I didn't hear someone has a song like that. You came to my rescue. Yes. And then he says it. He'll go after which is lost until he find it. Verse 5 says what? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. That's what God does when he sees us, he rescues us. He's so excited that he's rescued Jennifer. Yes, I tell you, let me tell you, there are some people, if you are lost for 2 days, they will not even remember that you are lost. They will even know that you are lost. I mean, if you are in trouble midnight in your bedroom, how many people know that you are in trouble? Bishop is sleeping. Pastor is sleeping. Reverend Keith is sleeping. Pastor Michael is sleeping. All of them are sleeping. It's only God who knows what you are going through that midnight. He's the only one who can rescue you. That's why David says that he restoreth my soul. Restoreth my soul. So who do you want to give yourself to? Who do you want to give yourself to? The one who can see what you are going through in the night? Is that the shepherd? Your boss man? Your fella? Your girlfriend? Your job? Is that what you've given yourself to? It's like the place where you are from, they don't even want you there. But it is that other relationship that God has given you and has connected you to. It's like that group now loves you more and think about you more and care more about you. I tell you. He restores my soul. He was talking to me. He said, you know, he's forgiven them, but he can't forget what they did to him. He can't forget it. And he asked me, he said, Bishop, I don't understand. Can you explain to me? I said, no, you are born again. That's why you used to be like them, but you have changed. So you don't understand. The difference is how far God has brought you. So you see your own kind and you see how cruel they are, but you would have been like that if you have lived there for 42 years also. So that's how far God has brought you out and has fixed your heart and fixed your soul. Check around. How many husbands come to church? I said, Charlene, I don't know the last time your husband gave me offering. Courtney is here. I don't remember. Courtney used to give me offering when he used to have gold. Now, I don't know what he have. That one, he doesn't give me anything. Yeah, Sib, I don't know. Yeah, Courtney used to send me money too when he was in the bush. He used to, He's also blessed me in a season in his life. Yeah, he's in the bush and he will send it and he will tell Dion, said, this is for Bishop. And I'll get it right here. I don't mind gold, but I get royalties from the gold. Yeah. But Brian Heyman has not given me an offering before. I don't even know whether he's happy for his wife to be in the church. Yeah. Michael used to tell me that I teach his wife to do Obia. Yeah, Michael Chabrol. He said I was teaching Esther how to do Obia. Yeah. Esther placed my tape in there. But you've been in the church all the time, and now you've brought the man too into the house. You are there all the time, and then you bring the man to the house too. Why don't you leave the man in the church? Why don't you pack your bags and go and live in the church then? You know the troubles that some husbands and people give me. Different husbands. Leave Judy down here. Come. I know a wife, when I want to talk to her, she will ask whether her husband can come along. I know a wife like that in the church here. Yeah, so yeah. Can I bring my husband? But you are my church member. Your husband, what is your husband's business here? Tony, you come and tell his wife, who's a pastor here, say, sit down, says, I want to talk to the man myself. No, you don't want you to hear. Yeah, this is a private interview. Sir. Jesus and Nicodemus. I want to see him Nicodemusly. Yeah, I know a wife in the church. Can I bring my husband? I don't know what else I'm coming to do. When the sheep goes down like that, apart from the fact that the sheep can die, the sheep also becomes prey to predators. The devil likes you to make, for your mind to just go off a little bit. That's it. So as he's down there gasping for breath, and then blood supply is cut off from the I don't know, hands or legs or whatever you want to call it. He's there, and then there are cougars and jaguars and these predators who are looking for nice sheep. So if the lamb chops, if the shepherd is not as careful as he's supposed to be, that's why Jesus explained in John chapter 10 that there are shepherds that are hirelings. They are part-time shepherds. They don't care so much for the sheep. That's why he outlined in John chapter 10 and verse 11. And this is a criteria. This is a criteria, ladies and gentlemen of Guyana who don't understand. Reverend Ralph was telling me yesterday that when he goes to church in Sofia to go and go to take the key of the small hall they use, then the person who's holding the key is asking, why? And he's saying, what do you mean by why? We have church. But all churches are closed. How come you people have church? You see, there's a lot of ignorance, a lot of bad spirit that has gone over Guyana. That people think that when one church says this, then everybody is like that. Why can't all the churches do the same thing? The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 11, he says, John chapter 10 verse 11, very, very important scripture. He says, John 10, 11, that I am the good shepherd. Every good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Life for the sheep. It's not nice, though. The way we understand Christianity here is not nice, though. There are doctors and nurses who are fighting coronavirus, handling people at the battle. And then we, the pastors, who are spiritually also responsible for life and death situations, we should close the door of the church and sit at home and go on some TV and just talk to people out into the air. And the nurses and the doctors, who themselves cannot do anything for eternity, they are allowed to go and work. And we, the spiritual people, who can give our life. This understanding of Christianity in this country is not good. We condemn it. Our work is from when you are born until when you eternity. I was there when Sister Marilyn came to me crying that her daughter Yolanda is pregnant. That's the girl sitting there. How old are you today, sweetie? 10, 11? 10 years old? Look at her. So even before she came out, I was the pastor. Wow. Now look at her now. By the grace of God, I'll be here by the time she's probably even getting married. You see how long I have been working on her from her mother's womb, her grandmother, her mother. I've been the pastor to them, talking and preaching all this while. You want me to shut down my doors and let the doctor go to work? You want to compare the pastor to the doctor? The church and the work of a pastor is underestimated. It's disrespected and disregarded. So when the sheep goes down like that, the shepherd is going, all he has is his rod and his staff. And so he has to go and sometimes even face a lion or a tiger for the sheep. That's what the Bible says. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If God is going to do something, but you can't help yourself. Don't try to take anything into your own hands. The God of heaven, the Bible says, is a mighty and a terrible one. He's the one. He's double-breasted. God told Moses that if you go, I know Pharaoh will not let you go except by a mighty hand. And God says he'll fight for you. You should ask Reverend Cromwell, he'll tell you. I will fight for you. And God says he'll fight for you. So when God discovers that you are not in a fold, he begins to come towards you because you are danger. The devil, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So when the devil comes to see you down there, you know, in your depression, in your discouragement, in your anxiety and all of that, he comes to increase it. He comes with lies to increase your woes and your troubles. So that you can sit down and say he can eat you up. So should the shepherd find you fellowship with the devil, then he has to now take that enemy away to rescue you. And then it's like, you see, the shepherd was talking about it. He said he used to have an ewe. A very nice, this ewe would drop two. Nice sheep. He said the only problem he had was that she was the only one that used to be cast down almost two times or three times a week. Is it familiar to you that we have some church members? It's like they always have some issue. They always have a problem. And the pastor has to be there. He said, if you don't take it, oh, you are tired. Every day you have a problem. Every day you have an issue. This thing is life. Oh. The medical doctors and these people, they are there. They are afraid to die. Some of them don't want to go to work. But we can't say we are afraid to die. Because in this business here, you give your life. We are told already, you take up your cross. We are told that this thing you are doing, you are likely to lose your life also. And it's okay. They are applauding them. They say, the medical people, they are applauding them and clapping for them. But they don't clap for us pastors. Because they think that we don't do anything. We should shut our doors and go home. And sit down and put our wives and us as a Facebook live. Hello, good evening, everybody. Please stay home, okay? Please stay home. You and your wife. Like that. You are joking. You are supposed to be at the front line. You are supposed to be at the battlefield, in the front of the battle, where the action is. That's where the shepherd is supposed to be, trying to restore the sheep, trying to encourage the sheep, trying to bring the sheep back. That's why I'm here from Tuesday to Saturday evening. And I know God is happy with me. God told me he's happy with me. Yeah, he told me that he's happy with me. Yeah. Because in Guyana, there's God forgive. If he wasn't happy with me, I won't say this. There's no church in Guyana that's having meetings six times in a week. Every church has closed down. I'm not talking internet. I'm talking about the possible contracting of coronavirus as I'm preaching. God told me that he's happy with me. He's happy with me. He's happy with me. He's happy with me. 6 days in a week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, I'm preaching. To encourage you. To give you hope. And to keep your spirits high. Because some of you will not have data. Some of you, your phones are not working. Some of you, by the time you catch yourself that I've come on Facebook Live, I have finished. And it's not everybody who is mature enough to have a certain fellowship with somebody on some phone, on some iPad or some. It's not everybody who can fellowship. But when it's physical, it's different. Because as you've come here, your attention is right here. When you're in your house and you're watching, there's so many things going on. The people in your house are all isolated anyway and quarantined. So there's a reason why they say, well, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It is still valid. That scripture is still valid. And that is why Guyana and Guyanese do not respect pastors and their job. Because the pastors are the most weak, the most timid, the most self-preserving pastors. It's me, my family, and my wife. And the pastors like to preserve themselves more in the name of preserving the flock. Who protects the flock? It's not you who protects the flock by telling them to stay home, like everybody's telling everybody to stay home. And so when God sees you discouraged, he sends the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if the Lord is not your shepherd, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry. Because there are things that happen inside a person's soul that they try to give you tablets to take care of, to put you to sleep to forget. But when you get up, you remember. You can go and sit down. Have you seen a picture? I saw a picture of somebody's fridge with a Heineken on one side, with mask and a Corona beer on one another side. The Heineken are protecting themselves from the Corona beer. Let me tell you, when something is in your, when a human being is not happy, it's not very easy to make a human being happy. Many Christians are walking around not satisfied in life. You see, and when we do that, we are not different from those out there, because they are also not satisfied anyway. So what's the difference? When they are not satisfied, Rebecca, and we are also not satisfied, we better don't come here and come and serve God. It's like we don't have somebody who really takes care of us. And in this world and in this life, the nature of your life or the extent of your life depends on who is in charge of you. The person who's in charge of you supernaturally is the person who determines how your life goes. Now, let me touch this briefly before we go. You see that depression? That little depression that the sheep gets stuck in? The causes of cast down, the reasons why people get discouraged, the reasons why people are anxious, the reason why people are not happy in life is because people like soft things. Many Christians are going through the problems they are going through because they can't carry the cross. They want to be Christians without the cross. Because what makes the sheep fall in that and get cast down is a small, soft depression. So every place is a little hard, but this place is a little soft. So when his weight goes in a little bit, then it's like it caves in. It is the things that makes us comfortable in this life. Those are the things that bring us the most difficult problems. Yeah. Softness. The easy things. The things that are comfortable. The soft areas of life that Christians are not able to stand up against. That's what takes us down. Are you with me? Many Christians want comfort. That's why they close their churches. It's cozy. It's comfortable. It's expedient. It's nice. Yeah. That is why people are. I don't understand also Guyana, where a pastor goes on Facebook with his wife. Yeah. It's romantic. I think so too. Yeah, I think so too. A romantic. Romantic preaching. Maybe I should practice that. You see the fans I'll get on Facebook. It's, oh wow, man of God. I like the beautiful couple. I like this beautiful couple. Oh my God. I want to be like this beautiful couple. Instead of listening to the word, is the husband and wife they are looking at? Power couple. Yeah. Easy places. There's no hardship. No need for endurance. No demand for self-discipline. People don't like self-discipline. Hardships. That's why on a platform where we say we are praying with a bishop, some of you don't pray. We take our service to Facebook, you backslide. You backslide. I know the type of Christians you are. Facebook? Hardship. If you are soft, you like easy things, you like nice things, hey, you are one of the people who easily get affected by the devil. Your soul will be played with. You have a lot of things affecting your soul. Even though you have the shepherd restoring your soul, but you go through these encounters too often. There are some church members, when you see them, you can see their problem. The way they come to church, when you see this church member, he likes something nice. As we have come here, all of us are quite normal. But you should see the church members who come, their face is like a dead body's face. Just a small 1 hour, 2 hour service. You've come here dressed up. Because there's this thing about dressing that is like your soft spot. Yeah. You see, I was talking to a young girl about a young boy in the church. I was saying that, you know what? I spoke to the young boy about a young girl. I said, it's a good girl. I think she's a good girl to marry. He said, oh, really? I said, yes. But his mind was on somebody else. So then he told me, oh, he was thinking about this person. I said, okay, let me just give you advantages here and disadvantages. So I gave advantages of the one that I was talking about. And then the other one that he brought up as his suggestion. You see, how can the sheep say that? Meh, Mandela, Mandela, meh, Mandela, meh. I've never seen sheep telling the shepherd, who is the animal, say, green, green grass, Mandela, man. No, Mandela, man. Take me there. Church members have suggestions for their pastor. They have better suggestions. They have their own ideas. They have their own way. That there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. You don't understand the Bible. That's why your life is the way it is. Man, middle road. Middle road? There's no grass on middle road. Holy concrete. You can go. I can assure you. There's no grass on middle road. Man, middle road. So I told the young man, look at this one here. 1, 2, 3. Look at this one here. 1, 2, 3. Say, oh, wow. So I said, okay, so talk to her and let's see. When the young man went to talk to the young lady, then the young lady said, oh, I mean, she thanks the Lord. It's a long time ago that you hear such things. So. The young lady, you know, said, okay, all right, you know, was okay with the idea to be in a relationship and all of that. But there's something the young lady said, that has I have not forgotten, and I'll never forget. The young lady said that she liked my young man from whenever. But she said she spoke to the Lord and said, Lord, let your will be done. And then she shut herself off. Hey, I'm saying if you have a shepherd, you don't have to worry. So you see how the thing has played out? It has gone around, and this is a very high demand young man. High demand. It's showing at the theaters nearest you. High demand. High demand. Movie town. Yeah. And it's like all those who possibly felt or thought they were better candidates. It's like the thing has, since the young man connected with his shepherd, the shepherd, by the grace of God, has been able to push almost every contestant away to somebody who almost didn't look like was even qualified. Yeah. Yeah. The young lady said she prayed about it. She said, Lord, because she said she was not going to, you know, push herself on any man. It's a long time I met such young ladies in the church. Me too. Nice girl. Because you don't believe that God loves you, Rhonda, and He knows what is best for you. We want to help ourselves. We say, God, Linden, yeah, you see, so what happens to God's church and God's people is that we look so discontent. We look so disorganized. Our lives are not together. The world cannot look at us and say, ah, I want to be like such a person. Because we are the ones running our lives. You see, if you are going to follow God, Regina said something. Regina said that if you are going to be a prophet, you are going to walk in the prophetic ministry, you should be prepared to go through rejection. Because a good prophet is never liked. When you say something, they say, what's that? What are you saying? Because you speak God's mind, and God's mind is not as human mind. So human beings will always find it difficult to understand what the prophet is saying. The prophecies that goes our way is like it's almost unlikely to come from God. The ones that makes us feel nice. Yeah. It's very likely not to be from God. So the self-direction, you can't discipline yourself for some difficult things, for some challenging things, for some tough things. You can't believe God. You can't wait on God. You gotta take a picture of your Bobby and send it. You see, and I don't know what some of my church members think. I don't know how they think I am. They think I think. Because I am the pastor. I am the shepherd. I know far better than you. So when I try to explain your behavior, you don't challenge me. Yeah. So when a young lady in the church just gives herself to have sex with somebody and then do it with another somebody, and I do it another somebody, and I say that there's something wrong. It's a demon about you. Don't say, hey, why are you saying that? So what about the other guys? But I just explained a young lady's story to you. And then this other young lady too, who has done 3 men of the cloth. You can see the difference. And as a man of God, as a shepherd, I see that this sheep here needs to be killed for mutton curry. Yeah. It's a troublesome sheep. He has to go. She must go this Christmas. You see? Yeah, last Christmas, I tried to, you know, for a few years now, I tried to kill a goat at Christmas. So every Christmas, we kill, find a goat. My father used to do that when we were kids. So I don't know where I've gone to pick it up again. So I kill goat every Christmas Eve day. So the last Christmas, I had one. So the guy, when I went to buy the goat, the guy was looking through his goat, which one can be killed? So he offered me two beat. He said, you know what? This big one, don't you want these two? Because these two, you know. Then I felt like this is something he wants to throw away. So I said, no, I want that big. I just want that one. I don't want two. It's like, hey, it's offering me 2 troublesome sheep. 2 blemished goats to go and kill and eat. When there's one that is good. So I said, no, no, no. The 2 sounded very nice because there are 2 goats. Hey, 2 and 1. Which one is better? 2 is better than 1. I said, no, no. Give me. The way he sounded, I felt like these are some troublesome goats around. Yeah. We'll continue tomorrow. Stand to your feet. Yeah.
in the Christian life, difficult things are good for us. Sometimes God disciplines us with some of the challenging things. Yeah. Yeah.
Once you sign up for this Christian life, anything that comes your way, you should thank God for it. Because if he doesn't want you to experience it, it will not happen to you. It will not happen to you. Who is your shepherd? Is he not your shepherd? And if he doesn't want you to experience something, it will not come. So it's God's will that Tony is gone. Otherwise, he'll be with us here.
You may not understand it, but that's what it is. It's God's plan that Mr. Michael Chabro will go and I'll find another husband for you, because that's his plan. You should tell, you see, when you are encouraging Judy, tell her that she's far younger. I'll get a one for her quick. I want to wait for the thing to die down small. I'll find a nice husband for she. She's too young to be walking around like how you won't walk around. You. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, tonight, thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing us, oh God. Wisdom, impartation, precious seeds from your word. You are planting in our heart and in our spirits. You are causing, you are calling us in a season like this, whereas the world is focusing on this physical ailment, you are focusing on our spiritual well-being. For Bible says that we should be afraid of the one who can kill the body and take the soul to hell. We should not be afraid of the one who can just kill the body and can't determine where the soul goes to. And so we are grateful you brought us here together to hear from you, our great shepherd. I know hearts and minds have been affected, and that our cups are filled and they are running over. Thank you for tonight. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to anoint those I have not anointed yet. Where's your microphone, sir? If I have not anointed you so far, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, today's Friday. Tomorrow is the last anointing evening. If I have not anointed you yet, I want you to come forward. I want to pray with you.
Anointed.
Sing it.
Asking for more. Fill me up completely.
Jesus.
With your Jesus.
You are covered.
Anoint me, Lord, this day.
Empty space, fill the empty space, space.
As I go along my way, let my light shine for the glory. Let the whole army flow.
It's anointed for the season. It's yours.
Dear Lord, for you.
You're anointed.
You're anointed.
You're anointed. You're anointed. You're anointed.
Bring healing divine.
Thank you, Lord.
Let it all flow. Anoint me, Lord, this day. As I go along my way, let my life send forth the glow. Let the
anointed.
As I go along
anointed.
My way, let my life
send forth the glory.
Let the all around me flow. Anoint me, Lord, this day. Amen.
Father, thank you for anointing your people. This period, for this season, I know no disease, no evil, no pestilence, no plague will come near their homes. Let this anointing extend to their household as well. Let these anointings from Tuesday up to tonight and even tomorrow night, let the oil extend to their households. Let their households be marked. No corona can enter, no corona can pass through any place and come to their homes. They are protected, they are covered until the season is over. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592 592-
225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.